Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and it is time for 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Kid Gunworks. We missed last week, and so I know we'll have double the questions and double the callers today. If you want to call in and ask Toby Leary a question, whether it's about a gun license, a specific kind of gun, ammo, whatever your question might be, you can ask about his facility, Cape Gunworks. The number is 844-500-4242. And if you want to text in, I know this is a popular method with our gun fans out there, is to just send in a quick message, 63566. Start the text with the word Curly, and I'll read your question on air for Toby. Toby Leary, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Grace, thanks for having me. Sorry I missed you last week.
Not a problem. I'm excited you're here this week, Toby, because there's a big story, and it's really going to unfold tomorrow. I don't know if you've been following this, but Trump's Supreme Court trio holds key in New York concealed gun case. The NRA threw, now I'm reading here from U.S. Law Week, it says the NRA threw its support behind former President Trump's three U.S. Supreme Court nominees. It's about to see whether that bet pays off. I guess what this is in regards to is a case about whether New York is limiting people's right to carry a concealed handgun in public. New York issues carry licenses only to people who can show a special need for protection. We've talked about this before, Toby, on the show. Sometimes people call up and they say, what do I have to say when I fill out my application to get my license to carry about why I want to own a firearm? And for a lot of people, I think this does come down to, why do I have to explain it if it's my right to own a firearm? How do you think this case is going to play out?
This has been a very exciting case for those of us who are Second Amendment supporters since it hit the docket after the SCOTUS punted on all 10 of the gun cases before them last session. So this has been something we've been looking forward to since, you know, we heard that it was going to make oral arguments. And so this has profound effect on about eight states and their ability to limit people's right to keep and bear arms. It is basically one of the core issues at the center of the right to keep and bear arms. If you think about it, if you have to tell a government why you need a reason to exercise your right as a citizen or an immigrant that's here permanently, then what is that right? How good is that right? It's, you don't do that, I mean, I don't want to give them any ideas, but you don't do that over the First Amendment. You don't go down to the local PD and get fingerprinted, photographed, and tell them why you want to exercise your First Amendment right. So why do you need to do that for the Second? And if they don't like your answer, they can say, nah, that's not good enough. You know, you don't have a team of ninjas stalking you at night on your way home, so therefore you don't need a gun. And if you don't, you know, if you just fear for your safety and you say, hey, I want a gun because I can, because it's my right, then your answer's not good enough. So this is really striking at the root of the cause of may-issue states and even some shall-issue states like ours, where you still have to give the reason you're applying for your license to carry. So I think it could have profound, significant effect. And I think it'll go favorably. I think that the court is a majority of, you know, supporters of the Second Amendment at this point, I hope.
I know. It's tough with this group because I'm not going to lie to you, Toby. I've been disappointed in some of their decisions before. I think we all kind of assumed, especially the Supreme Court justices who were appointed by Trump, that they would remember, you know, the group of tolerant liberals that tried to ruin them before they got these posts. And instead, they've actually made a lot of decisions that I've been disappointed with. But I'm glad you brought up the other states, because in this piece that I'm reading from, you're absolutely right. It says New York is one of eight states, along with California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Maryland, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Hawaii, that the NRA says prevents most people from legally carrying a handgun in public. And, you know, Toby, you are obviously at Cape Gunworks. You see people all the time who have guns, who use guns. But what is different about our state versus others? Like, if you went to a state that isn't really handicapped by these rules, how much easier is it to get a gun?
Well, there's everything from concealed constitutional carry, I should say, like we have in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, where you don't need any license whatsoever. You don't have to go ask permission to exercise your rights. And that seems to be the most obvious intent of the Constitution. Like, hey, yeah, you can carry under the Constitution. It's pretty clear. So there's, I think, now 24 states that have constitutional carry. Then there's these eight states that you mentioned, and then everything in between, where you just got to fill out in some cases. A friend of mine moved to Pennsylvania, and he went down to the local town hall and paid $20, and they handed him his license over the counter. Like, he didn't have to wait for anything. They just had to, you know, pay a fee and get his photograph taken, and then they handed him the license to carry at, and he walked out. It was like at while you wait. So that, I would say, has a very low threshold of infringing upon the guy's rights. Yeah, they do administer and make you jump through one hoop to get a concealed weapons permit, but it's fairly low threshold to step over. Whereas in our state, where you have, you know, a fingerprinting, photographing, extensive background checks, then wait 2 to 3 months and pay a fee and take a class, that's, you know, the other end of the extreme. So, but then there's states like New Jersey and New York, where unless you know somebody, you're connected, or you're, you know, live in a certain neighborhood, you're probably not getting a license, period, no matter what your excuse is. So,
wow.
That's
very good to know. Toby, I want to remind everyone that I will be reading from the text, but as always, the callers get first dibs. 844-500-4242. We'll be taking calls until around 2:45, so get on the lines now. Toby, I do have a text here from 781. Hi, Grace and Toby. Please ask Toby if 9mm ARs are legal in Mass. I saw a Dark Storm DS9 and a Just Right carbine for sale in a Mass store.
Yeah, so the definition that the Attorney General lays out on her frequently asked questions, it talks about similarity and interchangeability. So if you think about these pistol caliber carbines, or these AR-9s, or whatever you want to call them, they're definitely not Eugene Stoner's design, and they don't interchange with a regular AR-15. So therefore, they aren't regulated by the assault weapons ban. So I would say you're 100% fine getting that gun from whatever gun store you saw it at. The Just Right carbine looks like an AR, but it is very different. It doesn't have any of the functionality of an AR-15 other than looks. And she even says in her frequently asked questions that looks don't count. It has to be interchangeable, and it has to be similar design. And those are definitely not Eugene Stoner designs. And he's the one who created the AR-15. So if it isn't his design, then it can be sold. That's why we're able to sell other guns. And even she lists out some on the website of the enforcement notice, like the Tavor and other guns like that, Ruger Mini 14, that are able to be sold in Massachusetts because they're not the same as an AR-15, even though they do the same thing. So go figure.
But, let's go to Al. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks and Grace Curley. Go ahead, Al.
Hi, Grace. Thanks a lot. Toby, I've got a question about 5.56 and 223, and I'm given to understand that it's not safe to fire a 5.56 in a gun chambered for 223, but the other way around, it is safe to fire a 223 and a 5.56. I want to know if that's
correct.
Accurate. And the other thing is, I've seen guns where the chambering is stamped caliber 223-5.56. Does that, I assume that means you can fire either one safely, but some people say that you don't get any kind of accuracy if you fire a 2-2-3 out of a 5.5.
Yeah, that's a good question. And you're 100% right. The rumors are true. it is not typically safe to shoot a 5.56 out of a 223 Remington chamber. That chamber is specific to the 223 Remington, and you know it's not designed for the pressures that 5.56 can build up to. However, my favorite chambering is 223 Wilde, W-Y-L-D-E, and that one shoots both 5.56 and 223 in a match grade chambering. So that's why I really like it, is it'll shoot both in match grade manner. So I like the 223 Wilde chamber. If you can find a gun that's chambered in that, it'll work with both. So you do want to be careful if it's stamped 223 REM. But if it's stamped 223-556, you're good to go.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Al. We have other people on the lines. We will get to that in a little bit. 844-500-4242. Get on the lines now to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. He is the gun guru, and he can take all your questions. And if he doesn't know the answer, you can go on the gun blogs afterwards and roast him, which is always fun. Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. Yes, definitely in large part, we should be giving thanks to all of those people. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. That will be here before you know it. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and you'll have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreath have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to cemeteries at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veterans' wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls and your texts and all your questions for Toby Leary. When we return, this is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. AG Merrick Garland missed the deadline to provide Senate info on the basis for that school board memo. I wonder if he's running on the same timeline as the people investigating the Border Patrol agents who supposedly whipped those Haitian migrants. But, you know, they really didn't whip them. But we had to open an investigation and we were going to hear about that. And now it's all but disappeared. Maybe Merrick Garland is on that same timeline. There's just no urgency here. The only thing these people are urgent about is that the world is going to end because of global warming. But not so urgent that Joe Biden's going to skip his nap time over it. That's just to give you a sense of timing of these Democrats. It's pretty amazing. All right, 844-500-4242. I am joined by Toby Leary. And Toby, we're going to go right to the calls here. Jerry, you're next with Toby Leary and Grace Curley. What's your question, Jerry?
Hi, good afternoon. Two-part question, Toby. Practices and protocols for traveling with my gun, both foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic, meaning outside the country?
Spain, particularly.
Okay, yeah. I have no idea on that one. I'm sure there's a way to, contact the consulate in Spain or you know, the embassy and find out. You're going to have to obviously adhere to local laws, I'm sure, for maybe a hunting trip or something like that. But I know traveling domestically is very easy. You just basically declare the gun when you get to the airport, and they give you a firearms declaration card. And then when you're, you know, they have you put the card in the case, lock it up, make sure you have a lock on the case that is not a TSA lock. They want you to have your own lock on it so that the TSA agents can't open it. And then when you get to your destination, sometimes they require you to go to a special room to pick up your gun or your bag with the gun in it. But most of the time it comes down to baggage claim. But I've only traveled internationally once with a firearm, and it was to Canada. It wasn't a big deal. You just had to do customs. You have to do, I know, some declaration at customs. And once you fill out the customs declaration cards for that country and for our country, for Canada, it's good for life for that firearm, so you don't have to ever have it do it again. You just bring it in and out of the country whenever you need to. So, but there's certain guns you can and can't travel internationally with, so make sure the gun isn't prohibited in the place you're going, and then contact that country as to what their procedures are for arriving. Sometimes you got to ship it ahead of time, like if you're going on safari or a hunting trip, and send it to a certain location. So check with the country you're going to on that one.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jerry. Good question. Let's go to Steve. You're next with Toby Leary and Grace Curley. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about a felony in 1974. It was a B&E at night, and the record was sealed. And I'm in Florida now trying to get a license to carry. And I retired from the Coast Guard, I retired from county government, never had an incident since that time, and I was just curious to know what I got to do in Massachusetts to get the right to carry in Florida.
What you have to do in Massachusetts, you'd probably have to contact a local attorney. You could always reach out to, like, Keith Langer or Jason Guida, and they could probably help you out with that. If it's a felony, generally, where you can be incarcerated for 2.5 years or more, then I don't think you'll be able to get a concealed weapons permit or be able to purchase a firearm. But you can check. If the record is sealed, maybe it's a different story, but I'm not sure. It depends on if it comes up on your record when they do a background check for you. But I don't know if Florida's that tied into the Sealed Records Division of Massachusetts, but I would call one of those attorneys before you apply and see what they say about that, and you know, pay some money and have them do some legwork for you so that, you know, you can get your ducks in a row ahead of time. So hopefully that helps. That's where I'd start with one of the local attorneys here in Massachusetts.
Thank you for the call, Steve. 844-500-4242. Let's do one more call here before we have to go to break. I encourage everyone to call in for this next segment coming up. We'll have Toby for another 15 minutes. So if you have a gun question, now is the time. Jim, you're next with Toby Leary on Two-Way Tuesdays. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes. Hi. Great show, Grace. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask Toby, my dad was a cop back in the 60s, and he had a police positive 38. And I'm having the darnest time finding the shells.
38 special is very difficult to get right now, Jim. So keep an eye out at whatever gun store you go to. We do get them from time to time. They go very quickly, and we usually are limiting the amount of shells you can buy, you know, a box or two each, just because it's so hard to get, so rare. In fact, I had a pretty good supply coming in, and the manufacturer called me and said that they had a problem with the brass that they got, so they're sending them all back to the brass manufacturer. I was like, oh, because we had 21,000 rounds coming in, and I was all excited. And then, you know, they pulled the rug out when they weren't testing well, so they're sending them back. Eventually, we'll get them, but It's just tough right now. Anything with a 38 special, 380, 357, 3030, there's a lot of cartridges out there that are hard to get. So keep your eyes peeled. We do get them from time to time, so call us a couple times a week. We don't mind the phone call. And when we get them, you can pay right over the phone and we'll set them aside for you.
Thank you for the call, Jim. All right, 844-500-4242. Still plenty of time to get your question about guns, ammo, whatever it might be, on the air with Toby Leary, or text in to 63566. Start the text with the word curly. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. And Toby, I'm going to let the listeners go first, but I do have a few questions for you about the Alec Baldwin situation. But before I get to that, I can be kind of selfish and take up a lot of time. So we will go to the callers who have been waiting. Let's go to Mike. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks on Two-Way Tuesday. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Unrestricted. I have a restricted license in Boston, and I had heard something earlier about a Supreme Court ruling about making them unrestricted, and I just wanted clarification on it, if I'm correct or incorrect.
Yeah, so tomorrow the oral arguments are going to be heard in the Supreme Court decision in the New York State Pistol and Rifle Association versus Bruin, excuse me. It's a case that basically is challenging the need to give a reason for why you want a gun. And so this is a landmark case. Tomorrow the oral arguments will be heard, but we probably won't know where the Supreme Court is going to come down on this for months, I'm sure, maybe not even till the new year. So hopefully we'll hear sooner rather than later. It seems pretty open shut to me, but I'm no law professor or judge, so hopefully we'll see a favorable outcome. I think we will, and it should send some shockwaves throughout all the states that like to dabble in tyranny and tell people why they can and can't have a gun. So we'll hope. We live in hope.
I mean, between that, Toby, tomorrow, and if Youngkin pulls it out, the libs are really going to be melting down. Ooh-hoo! I might have to get on my popcorn tonight.
It will be a meltdown.
Yes, for sure. Let's go to Ed. You're next with Toby Leary on from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, Toby. I have a question about buying pre-ban magazines online. I'm comfortable buying them in stores because obviously you know where they came from, and if there's a problem, you know who to refer someone to. But I did find a source that connected me with someone in Massachusetts, but it's a private individual. And how can you be sure that the bans are pre-banned mags, excuse me.
Yeah, sometimes you can tell. Manufacturers, sometimes you can tell because they're externally date stamped, sometimes they're internally date stamped, and sometimes they don't have anything. They're just old mags. Sometimes it's the construction of the magazine, like it has certain indicators on it that were done before the ban or after the ban or whatever. So you got to really know what you're looking for. And I've seen people bring mags in that they'd carried in their guns for, you know, years thinking that they were pre-banned and said, oh, yeah, this is a pre-banned mag. And I say, no, it's not. So, you know, sometimes it's tough to tell. But honestly, you got to be sure of it. And, you know, buying online, you know, there's definitely some people who are out there doing a good job of selling pre-banned mags, and, you know, they end up with a good reputation. And then there's other people that don't. I think I remember a guy at a gun show years ago who was selling mags that were not pre-banned, but he was claiming they were. And so you just got to be careful, you know, because obviously you're the one that's going to pay the price if it's not a pre-banned mag. The good news is that the burden of proof is on the prosecution to prove that they are not pre-ban, and that's probably as equally hard to prove. But I would just be careful. Just, you know, the best way is to make sure that they are, and, you know, then you're safe. So you can get the dated ones. That's the easiest way. You usually pay a little premium for the dated mags. But, yeah, good luck with that. And there's some good people out there selling mags, and they're willing to meet you and, you know, do a legal transaction. So you should be good to go.
All right, 844-500-4242. We still do have time for a few more calls, but let me read a text message here. 978 says, Toby, if you are charged with a crime and it was dismissed, are you still able to purchase a firearm in Massachusetts?
Yes, that is not. You're only, you can't when you're convicted of certain crimes over, that are punishable, you know, like by 2.5 years in jail or more, so like a felony or whatever. But yeah, if you're charged with the crime but you're never convicted, that doesn't matter. You might have some more explaining to do to the local chief as to what happened there, but that it'll probably come up if you were arrested or charged for the crime. I'm sure it'll come up in some sort of interview. But yes, technically you can buy a gun. You'll just have to explain what the circumstances were around it. And unless the Supreme Court is, you know, shines favorably upon us, hopefully they do.
All right, let's go to Steve. You're next with Toby and Grace. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello, Toby and Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have a second home in Maine, and I bought some guns legally up there. Can I take them back to Massachusetts, like a Kimber Micro 9? And some other guns.
Yep.
And
you absolutely can, as long as you don't bring high cap mags with it. Just leave the high cap mags in Maine. I know the Micro 9's not a high cap gun, but if you have some other guns, you know, that are not mass compliant, just leave the mags that are high cap up in Maine. But you're absolutely 100% able to bring those guns back to Mass.
Do I have to do anything, you know, go online or anything like that? Or am I okay just to put them in my gun safe?
No, you're fine just to put them in the gun safe as long as you bring them back with you and you're not, like, shipping them to yourself or something like that. So, yeah, if you're driving back with them and you get home, you put them in the gun safe. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for the call, Steve. Good question. Let's try to get these callers in here at the last minute. Tony, you're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. What's your question, Tony?
Hey, Toby. How you doing?
Very good, Tony. Thanks.
About 30-something years ago when I was 19, I got arrested in Boston for assault and battery on a police officer with a deadly weapon, went to court, and it was dismissed. Do I have a chance of getting a gun permit?
I think you do, yeah. Certainly seems like, you know, again, if you're not convicted of the crime, then you're still able to buy a gun. You might have, again, some explaining to do to the chief as he's sitting here looking at your record saying, you were arrested for assault and battery on a police officer. Is this still a problem, you know? So, yeah, you should be good to go. In some cases, they might even issue you an FID card or restrict the license to carry to target shooting and hunting, but there's ways of appealing that too. But I would absolutely apply, and yeah, you should be good to go. Again, you're just going to have to explain it and to their satisfaction. So hopefully that all works out well for you, and sounds like you've made a change in your life, and you don't go around you know, getting in trouble anymore. So I don't, you know, as long as you're not convicted, you should be good to go.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Let's go to Danny. You're next with Toby and Grace. Go ahead, Danny.
Hi, how are you? My question is, look online in the rules of Massachusetts for possession of a taser, and I'm confused with the language. It says you can't have it, but they're being, I think they're being sold in the state, and if they are being sold, how does one purchase one? I do have a license to carry for Class A large capacity.
Now, okay. I'm going to let Toby answer this, but I was just going to say, I think if you have your license, you can have a taser, right, Toby?
Yeah, so that is the key. Unfortunately, in this state, they used to have an outright ban on them, and then the Supreme Court sent a letter to Massachusetts saying, hey, you're violating people's Second Amendment rights, and you got to fix this. So the way the legislature fixed it was they made them legal to possess if you have a license to carry, and they treat it exactly like a pistol. So basically, wherever you can carry a pistol, you can carry a taser. Wherever you can't carry a pistol. You can't carry a taser. So the bottom line is you got to have your Class A license. You got to have your license to carry. There's no more Class A or B. And you go to a gun store and purchase them through the gun store, and they do a paper FA-10 form on it. So that's there's no federal background check, but there's still like a registration with the state that you have purchased a taser. And then once you got one, you're good to go. But once you jump through all the hoops to be able to own a gun, there's really no advantage to having the taser because you can't carry it in places that you can't carry a gun. So it's basically the same restrictions as a firearm. So,
all right, let's go to Sandra. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. What's your question, Sandra?
I want to know, for an older person, and this would only be used at home if necessary, but the way society is going today, who knows, it could be necessary. Sometimes I've heard that tasers, they don't go off or whatever. So for an older person, would it be more consistently safe to have a taser or a pepper spray?
Ooh, good question.
That's a good question. You're going to have the situation where you're going to have to get licensed to carry a taser, even if it's in the home. So in order to purchase one, you're going to have to get a license to carry. The taser gives you a advantage over the pepper spray in that if you hit the person, it should disable them. It doesn't work all the time, but it should disable them from a distance. Like pepper spray does. Pepper spray gives you several shots at a distance, so you'd be able to continue to spray if you miss or it wasn't aimed properly. But once you shoot the taser, then it becomes a contact weapon. So in other words, if you shoot it and miss or there's multiple attackers, you basically get that one shot, and then you basically have a stun gun in your hand. So in other words, you'd have to be touching the person to disable them, and it's a lot harder in a fight, you know what I mean? So I'm not a huge fan of either option, but it's better than nothing, let's put it that way. I'd much rather, you know, have a firearm with which has multiple round capability so I could stop, more than one threat if necessary. And also, you're, you know, disabling them for longer than, you know, a few minutes. So, I don't want the person getting back up in a few minutes, and now I have to hit them with a stun gun or hit them again with pepper spray. Hopefully, the best-case scenario is they run out of the house and leave. But, it's a tough call. But if you got to go through all the hoops to get your license to carry anyway, in my opinion, you're better off with a firearm and get some training on how to use it. I know that's not for everybody, so look into all three options, and hopefully that'll one of those will fit your lifestyle and your defense paradigm as you see fit.
Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, thank you to all the callers who called in. And Toby, I know that they are able to listen to you if they want to, so give out a little information about where people can find you.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. So you can go to CapeGunworks.com, and you can also click on Rapid Fire and sign up for our show that we do once a week. And we do an all-talk radio show on anything guns, Second Amendment, and freedom and self-defense. So we talk on all these issues every week for a couple hours now. And so you can go to CapeGunworks.com, click on Rapid Fire, or you can listen to us on the radio or any of the social media channels. It's at Cape Gunworks. So we'd love to have you. Or just come see us down in Hyannis, 96 Airport Road in Hyannis. We'd love to have you at the shop.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry to all the callers we weren't able to get to this week. The good news is there's always 2A Tuesdays next week. So just have your question ready and be by that phone, and Toby will be able to answer it. Now, we should really talk here about this great product we have. Every year we get this incredible offer for the listeners, and I hope people take advantage of it, because you can thank Joe Biden right now as inflation surges. The winter heating bills will be here soon, and they're projected to soar by as much as 54% in some areas. Whew. that takes your breath away. Depending on your heating source, it can be pretty bad, but my friends at Eden Pure can help. Right now, you can save $20 off of their Gen 40 heater that is both stylish and easy to move from room to room. You no longer have to heat up your entire house, which is expensive and a lot of times unnecessary. With rising inflation, demand is high, so order your Gen 40 space heater right now with code word Grace Heater. That's code word Grace Heater. I love this heater because it has both infrared and a convective heating system in a single unit, so it really warms you up. And it doesn't feel dry. It doesn't feel like fake heat. It just feels really good and warm, and you can move it around, and you can put it next to you when you're watching TV, when you're reading a book, and you feel like you're near a warm, cozy fire. The two technologies work together to warm a room. Most space heaters use only just one form of heat. That's not as efficient or as economical. The Gen 40 heater, these may be gone by Thanksgiving, so go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word GRACEHEATER to save $20 and get free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEHEATER. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to discuss with Howie Carr, but first, I want him to weigh in on our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsbee Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. These kind of fall days are the perfect time to be at the Follinsbee Inn. It's a beautiful spot when the leaves are changing and the air is crisp. So make sure you check out Follinsbee Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to Follinsbeein.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Well, we know the winner of the Virginia race by tomorrow.
I have to be the youthful, naive radio host and say, yes, we will. We're going to wake up and it's going to be like snow on Christmas morning. Howie?
I hate to be gloomy Gus, but I think the glass is half empty. No, I don't think so. I think Newt Gingrich had it right last night on Fox when he said, if it's close, they'll try to steal it.
Oh, absolutely. And something my parents have been saying they keep hearing on Fox, Howie, is all this money that the RNC has raised, they better be using some of it to protect these elections and to do something preventative, unlike last time, which they just tried to play defense after the damage had already been done.
Right. It's really hard to prove voter fraud once it's done. I mean, once
right.
You throw in a fraudulent ballot into the ballot box, I mean, how do you know which is fraudulent and which isn't? And to tell you, we'll give you a provisional ballot because somebody already voted for you. As you know, Michael Flaherty was saying last night, they're going to do that in South Boston with all those mail-in ballots that were thrown away by a postal worker. Along with many other things too, it doesn't appear this was a Democrat or a liberal dirty trick because they were throwing away utility bills as well.
65% of the audience is with the captain. They say no.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that is happening. Whether it's this race in Virginia, we also have the mayoral race here in Boston. Howie, do you have any predictions on that?
Yeah, I think Janet Wu will win, but I don't think it's a good thing for the city that she wins. I mean, I don't like Anissa either, but she's probably a less terrible choice. I think the turnout's going to be very low, and I think Janet Wu.
I was just going to say, you're talking about Michelle Wu.
Michelle Wu. I'm from an earlier generation, and so is Janet Wu. And I think that Michelle Wu, I think she's already got it in the bag. I'm hearing stories about how they didn't have certain precincts, even sign holders out, you know, whereas Anissa is getting the union thugs out to every precinct in the city.
Hey, well, sometimes if you're overly confident, i.e. Hillary Clinton, things don't go well for you. By the way, today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I love my RAV4 XLE, and Toyota of Portsmouth is located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. So go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom and tell them I sent you. Howie, I'm excited to tune into your show today. These are usually your best, is when local and national things are all breaking at the same time. So we will be tuning in, and I hope everyone else does too. I'll be back tomorrow for more. This is the Grace Curley Show.